Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here. And as the Minute Wars fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. And of course, to welcome our remote audience who join us here in the radio theatre from their homes all over the UK and perhaps, who knows, even from around the world. All are very welcome. Let me introduce you to the four marvellous, talented, delightful humans playing Just a Minute this week. We have Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Shazia Mirza and Giles Brandreth. Please whoop and cheer and go absolutely crazy for all four of them. It's series 88 and I don't intend to ring any changes, so I'll simply be asking them all to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. So off we go, and we start with truly one of the greatest players of the game, Paul. And the subject on the cards is... Oh, hello. This is Fiendish Paul. She sells seashells. There's Giles with mocking laughter. We'll see how you fare if it comes to you, sir. Will you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation? Paul, on She Sells Seashells, starting now.
She sells seashells by the seashore. The shells she sells are seashells, I'm sure. So if she sells seashells...
Shazia.
Sells.
Shells is on the card. If it's on the card, you can repeat it, you can knock yourself out and say it as many times as you want. So, an incorrect challenge. The plot thickens, which means Paul might have to say some of that again. 53 seconds. Your time starts now.
So if she sells seashells on the seashore, then I'm sure she sells seashore shells. It's a tongue twister that was invented...
Giles.
Repetition of shore.
Yes, that's the one.
Because the words on the card were, you gave him...
Yes, but one seashore, one shore as in being certain.
But I don't think homophones...
Listen, we you know, diversity is a big thing these days. We're allowed homophones. In fact, we encourage homophones. Two different words, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Seashore.
Seashore and shore certain, you see.
But he repeated both shores.
He did. I have to say it's a correct challenge.
Oh, is it?
It sadly is.
It is, yes.
Although I have to say, the enunciation...
Yeah, exactly.
...was a very good.
I did that for O-level.
Did you?
No. You can't get tongue twisters as a subject for O-level. Yeah. Sadly.
I did rubber buggy bumpers. You don't want to know how that one turned out. 44 seconds after that correct challenge, Giles, and your time starts now.
She sells seashells is indeed a fiendish tongue twister, rivaling only the one that I was faced with when I appeared in a drama called, interestingly, She Sells Seashells, and played the part...
Paul.
Deviation, he said interestingly.
I can see where you're going with
that. Yeah,
I can see where you're going. However, much as I'm inclined to agree, we need to give Giles the benefit of the doubt. He has not yet told his tale and it may well prove to be gripping.
Absolutely.
So, 31 seconds, Giles. It's still with you and your time starts now.
In She Sells Seashells, I essayed the role of the young detective who approached the victim and said that was the chair Schmidt sat in when he was shot. Unfortunately, the diction class hadn't worked very well, and the tongue twister of the title of the drama affected...
Paul.
Repetition of tongue twister.
It was a repetition of tongue twister.
Yes.
Well spotted.
And I also say, I think you did very well to give him the benefit of doubt because it became absolutely fascinating. Is there a possibility you might turn it into a musical?
If anyone can.
Giles.
If anyone would.
Oh. 15 seconds, a very good steal, Paul. And you have your subject back, She Sells Seashells, and your time starts now.
There are many ways of reciting the lines that I've just done earlier, but of course they do involve a certain amount of repetition. There are many authors in the...
Zoe.
Many, many.
Yes.
Many lines, yes. Many ways.
Yes, it's a small word, but if it comes hard on the heels like that, then one has to give it. So a correct challenge, Zoe, which gives you 6 seconds.
Ooh.
To give us something involving selling of seashells, starting now.
My auntie Maggie used to sell seashells down by the sea, and she could get great buckets of them.
How ironic that it wasn't the tongue-twisting element that failed you there.
No, I concentrated so hard on the run-up. You know when you see somebody do like a triple jump and it's like they falter at the first? That's exactly what happened, and I just fell face down in the sand.
Well, Charlesia was there, and...
You've really smashed this because you have 1 second.
Oh. 1 second remaining.
You just see what couldn't go wrong.
I believe in you. I believe in you. She sells seashells. 1 second, starting now.
Paul! Hesitation.
What?
I don't agree.
You hadn't said anything for a second.
There was a gap, my Don. You're in the A team here. This is the Premier League. However, I'm going to say, bearing in mind that Paul is a seasoned player of the game, so it would be wise now to give you the benefit of the doubt. But to say for future times, as soon as that time starts, crack in there. With 0.25 seconds remaining. Let's see, Charlesia, what you have to say.
Seashells, seashells on the stand.
You've gone from delaying to suddenly speaking over, but we'll give you that. You were speaking before the whistle went, during the whistle going, and after it went. So you've covered all the bases.
I couldn't let that go there, Sue.
No, you couldn't.
I couldn't fall.
It's absolutely fine. You get the point, and that's what matters if you're Giles Brandreth. Now, Zoe, we're going to stay at the beach for this one.
Okay.
And your subject is scuba diving. Let's hear what you've got to say on that subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
9 years ago, on the island of Roatan, just off the coast of Honduras, I learnt how to scuba dive. I have to say, it was a life-changing experience. Such wonderful creatures lurk underneath the surface, things that I'd never seen before. A blue-finned triggerfish, octopus, squid, whale, turtles, blinis, shrimp, every type of animal was there.
Paul.
Elephants?
No, they weren't, no.
Not every type of animal was there.
But on a good day...
Giraffe.
No, they can turn up.
Might be a good day for you. It wouldn't be a good day for a giraffe to find itself underwater.
Every sort of animal you'd expect to find there was there.
Ah, yes, that's a different thing.
But you could get an elephant, because off the coast of India, if you go scuba diving, you can get elephants in the sea.
Yeah. Yes, I've seen them. Yeah. It's true. But I'm going to give Paul a point because I really enjoyed that. But you are going to get to keep the subject, Zoe. Can I just ask, you talked about the bluefin animals, you talked about the squid. Did you say blinis?
Yes, a blini.
The sort of Eastern European sort of griddle cake.
Well, they come in all sorts of varieties.
But do they come in aquatic varieties?
They do indeed.
Like you, Charles, I was...
We were struck by that.
Yes, I was struck by an underwater blini.
Well, there was a horse called Sea Biscuit, so I don't see why there shouldn't be an oceanic blini.
Yes.
So we're accepting Bellinis, but questioning elephants.
Well, I suspect it's a Bellini. I suspect it only sounds like Bellini, but yeah. We'll see, because you've got 33 seconds remaining to tell us about scuba diving, starting now.
One of the most remarkable places I have been scuba diving.
Giles.
Remarkable. Repeated from earlier.
Oh, God. Yes, I think it's a remarkable experience.
It is a remarkable experience.
Yeah.
It is so remarkable it's worth mentioning twice.
Which is great unless you're playing just a
minute. Unless, of course, you're playing this
way. Reiteration is not going to serve you well. 30 seconds, Giles, you've got... Oh, I don't know if I want to hear about you scuba diving, but I must and I will, and we shall do it together. Brace yourselves. Your time starts now.
This you will find hard to believe, but it is true. I went scuba diving with a man called Christian J. Lamberstein, and he is the person who in 1952 patented the scuba as the self-contained apparatus for breathing underwater. And with this remarkable individual...
Charlesia.
Hesitation.
Oh, no, I sense not.
Maybe that's just the way he talks.
Well, very much like a scuba diving experience, he was just taking in a long breath.
You became confused, I think, with the word remarkable, because you knew, obviously, it had been repeated by Zoe, and you gestured over.
I was echoing. I was paying it as a compliment to my friend Zoe, with whom I have a special relationship.
I was going to let you keep the subject, Giles, but after that creepiness, I'm giving it right to Charles. Different times, my friend. We must all move on, and so must you. Charlesia, it was a sort of emphatic gesture over which we felt was unwarranted. So I shall give you that under the banner of hesitation. You have 14 seconds on scuba diving starting now.
I learnt to scuba dive off the coast in Mexico. At night time, it was very dark and I had a massive oxygen tank on my back which fell off while I was underwater. I managed to escape...
I don't know why we're applauding. It was a tragic tale.
I'd get me money back on that trip.
It was true.
The moment you hit the water, it just fell off.
It fell off. It wasn't attached properly. It fell off, and I miraculously made it to the top. I saw a couple of turtles on the way up.
Mm.
That happened to me once when I was scuba diving. I got terribly lost under the water, but luckily I found the neck of a giraffe and just shimmied up. Found myself back at the surface.
Well done, Shazia. You were telling us that torrid tale of health and safety inadequacies as the whistle went. You get the point and you get the next subject. So let's see what we've got in store. We've got work in progress. Work in progress. Your 60 seconds start now.
A few weeks ago, I found a carpenter on the internet who I called up and said, can you make me some shelves? Very excited, Douglas came round and he put up a vast array of wood. Well, that's what he told me. I went out to bake a cake. When I came back, nothing had been done. He said to me, this is a work in progress. You can't expect everything happening in 1 hour. This is going to take 6 weeks. He moved into my house. He took over my life. He said, it's all a work in progress. That's what I...
Oh. Now, Zoe.
Well, I think deviation, because I think you'd have got a quote at the start of the job.
Zoe, we've already established that Shazia doesn't check whether her scuba diving equipment is correctly fastened before she just dives into the ocean.
But I definitely get not only a monetary quote, but a sort of time estimate as well. And if it took longer than a couple of hours, I'd have chosen somebody
else. But people
else.
Don't give time estimates these days.
How big are your shelves, Shaz?
Zoe, to mind.
I'm going to say it's an incorrect challenge, though.
Okay.
You've got 20 seconds remaining, Shazia, to tell us a little bit more about work in progress, starting now.
A work in progress, that's what he claimed to be. Yes, I should have got a quote when he started the work, but he said...
Paul.
We have had a lot of he's.
Ooh. We've had a lot of he's.
That's allowed. He is a he.
Again, it's the rules seem to be very blunt, but there's a finessing when you get a lot of he's. So Paul is going to get the subjects. Work in progress with 9 seconds, you fiend, starting now.
As I looked out to the back garden, I realised I needed to build a conservatory. I looked at the various elements...
Giles.
Repetition of looked.
Yes.
Oh,
out.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, how silly of me.
Well, spotted Giles.
Yes, I did. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Easily done in the heat of the moment.
Yes.
Giles has done it again. He's just swept in there at the last minute with 3 seconds remaining.
Oh, silly of me.
Work in progress, Giles. Your time starts now.
Sculpting my body so that I look like a young Adonis is indeed a work in progress.
Speaking filth as the whistle went. But rules are rules, he gets the points. And you have the next subject, indeed, Jazz. A British scandal.
Mm.
60 seconds starting now.
A British scandal. There have indeed been so many. And as you will recall, I was a Member of Parliament, indeed, until the people spoke. And so...
Zoe.
Two indeeds.
Two indeeds.
Do a repetition of indeed.
Well, fine.
Two indeeds. You were over-emphatic, Giles, heaven forfend.
Yeah.
Well done, Zoe. A correct challenge. With 52 seconds remaining, you have a British scandal starting now.
People love a British scandal. They enjoy the nosiness of it, pulling back their curtains to observe other people's in their darkest hours. A British scandal can involve many types of affairs, such as running out of toilet paper during a pandemic could be considered a British scandal. Where would we go to get the acquired cloth for the appropriate job?
Sure.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were stumbling there and hesitating, but you were just enunciating.
There was no visible hesitation. The brain might have been whirring, but the mouth remained firm.
It was still very much going.
And it's got another 31 seconds to keep on going.
I'd stand by on that buzzer, Shaz, because this won't last long. Right.
31 seconds starts now.
Cream or jam first on a scone? That can be a British scandal for some. Some say that...
Oh, Paul.
Repetition of some.
There you go. I told you, Shaz. You should have...
Absolutely. Too late now, Shaz. Too late now. Paul got there with a correct challenge. Be very interested to hear what you have to say on a British scandal, Paul, in 26 seconds, starting now.
26 seconds is hardly enough for me to talk about one of the greatest British scandals of the 20th century. Take your mind back to 1920...
Giles.
Deviation of the English language. Take your bind.
Yeah. Take your bind back. Yeah. Oh, no.
Had it happened more than once, I'd be tempted to say there was a sinus infection, but you're right, mind is no mind. A correct challenge, sadly, because I wanted to hear that story.
Yeah, so did I. I wondered what it was going to be.
18 seconds, Giles. You have a British scandal back. Tell us more, starting now.
The great British scandal of my boyhood was something known as the Profumo Affair, when the then Minister for War was found to have had a relationship with a lady of the night who was simultaneously doing naughty things with the Russian attaché.
Paul.
Well, surely you would have noticed that she was doing it simultaneously. I mean, admittedly, it might be the same sort of, like, period of time, but not simultaneous.
Was she ambidextrous?
I mean, Profumo was a very wise man. He would have at some point said, who's that Russian?
Not necessarily if the lights were out.
Really?
Oh, yes. People were more shy in the 1960s. They always turned the lights off first.
I'm giving Paul an extra point because I really enjoyed that challenge and it was crisp and technical and wonderful. But I'm going to see what drawn-out vowel Giles presents us with in the 1 second he has to complete.
Oh, 1 second.
But well, you both get the point. Paul's fair in love and war and the Profumo Affair. Your time, Giles, starts now.
Let us now remember Jeremy Thorpe.
Wonderful stuff. Scores at the end of that round. Trailing just a little in third place, we have Zoe. In joint second place, we have Paul and Charles on 4 points, and Giles has just snaffled the lead with 5 at the end of that round. But all to play for. And you, Paul, to be frank, is the subject on the card. Can you speak for 60 seconds on the subject, to be frank? Your time starts now.
In the early 1970s, Michael Crawford appeared in a very successful TV comedy series called Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, playing a character called Frank Spencer.
Repetition of called.
Oh, that passed me by. Care to illuminate us as to where the repetition...
He played a character
was?
Called Frank in a show called...
Oh,
Some Mothers
Do Have 'Em. Well done, Giles. That is a correct challenge under the rules of just a minute. You get the point. You also get the subject, to be frank, and your time starts now.
I was lucky enough to know the great British entertainer Frankie Howard, who liked to be called Frank. That was his preferred nomenclature. Titter ye not, that's the fellow. And to be frank, he was a different person when he was at home, because the amusing persona that one saw on screen became a different figure altogether in his house in Edwards Square, where, to be frank, he removed his toupee and would sit there eating biscuits and saying to me, to be frank isn't very happy as an experience, because to be frank is to be a sad creature, whereas people like to laugh at me and when I'm doing fishes and other amusing songs, but to be...
Paul.
When I'm doing fishes...
His song. When I'm doing fishes. Fish, fish, fish. Little fishy. Go fish, fish, fish. Fish, fish, fishy.
Is there a doctor in the house?
For the purposes of this programme, I have no knowledge of what you're talking about. No, I do. He did do a song about little fishes swimming over the dam, but it wasn't called Fishes.
Ah.
I'm inclined to hear more. If Fishes indeed was the song, let's hear a little bit more
of it.
It
was, yes.
So you've got 11 seconds, Giles. To be frank, off you go.
To be frank, for him was a sadness, and at his funeral, Cilla Black gave the most touching oration about how he would come for Sunday lunch with her and her family because he didn't feel that he had one of his own. To be frank...
Beautifully done. Speaking as the whistle went, wonderful. A wonderful, sad portrayal of an erstwhile comedy great. Zoe, we're with you next. You have the next subject. My Irish roots.
Okay.
Your Irish roots. Can you speak without hesitation, repetition or deviation on that subject? Starting now.
I am very proud of my Irish roots. I grew up in a small town in County Waterford called Dunmore East. My father is of Irish heritage and therefore...
Irish? Was that upper class Irish?
No, no, no. In my defence, it's quite a strong accent from where I come from. It's a Irish.
Irish?
I have Irish heritage.
What I'm going to do, because I've really enjoyed it, so I'm going to give you a bonus point, but Paul will have the subject. Oh. It was a correct challenge. There was a little bit of hesitation. He was right to buzz. So he's.
I'm high rate now. Absolutely high rate.
Want to hear about Paul's Irish roots?
Yeah.
Paul, you've got 50 seconds starting now.
My mother is from County Waterford, so, and she was Irish, which of course would be what you would expect.
It will come as no surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
That Giles has buzzed.
I was buzzing on behalf of Zoe, but the hesitation, the fumbling and the stumbling.
Yes, and of course, I mean, your Irish roots, they're laid out for all to see, Giles. Let's hear about them. You've got 45 seconds starting now.
Can you see my Irish roots from where you're sitting? Because somehow the green does show through occasionally in my hair. Yes, I do have Irish roots. My family come from County Cork. My grandmother was a nun. That was something of a scandal, because when she gave birth to my father, everybody said, oh, begotta, because that's how they do still speak. That isn't me being...
Oh, isn't this racist?
Yes.
Nobody in Ireland says begorra anymore. They only say it in English films in the 1950s.
Indeed, on which I was brought up.
Indeed, yes.
It was also the green hair as well. I think we might have lost any Irish.
Well, I thought that was mildew. I can see it from here.
If you have grown up in Ireland, you do tend to have quite a heavy layer of moss.
I think, Paul, it's a correct challenge. What you've done is you've saved the BBC from a slew of complaints. Begorra. Good Lord, man. 21 seconds, Paul, to tell us something of your Irish roots, starting now.
I recently appeared on the British Broadcasting Corporation's TV show Who Do You Think You Are?, which they took me back to Ireland, and there I was able to discover that my grandfather, James, who I never knew, who was the father of my woman, who was the person who gave birth to me, he was somebody that drowned, unfortunately, in a very sad accident in a canal, and we didn't know that.
Feels very wrong applauding.
A very sad story it was, yes, but he would have welcomed the applause.
Well, he was speaking as the whistle went. He gave us some real heartfelt personal detail there.
Yes.
And you get the point. Now, Shazia, with you. Now, your subject is DNA. Everything you know, please, about DNA, starting now.
At school, my science teacher, Dr. Fernando Poulet, told me DNA stands for don't know anything. Upon going to university, studying biochemistry, I realised it to be deoxyribonucleic acid, a polymer made from nucleotides which wrap themselves coiled around each other, discovered by Watson and Crick in 1953, who went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize while studying...
Giles.
I fear it wasn't the Nobel Peace Prize.
I hadn't finished. It was the Nobel Peace Prize for Medicine.
Oh, is that what it's called?
That was what it was called, the Nobel Prize for Medicine.
Anyway, it's not the Nobel Prize for Medicine. I don't think it's called the Nobel Peace Prize.
But that's what it's called on the streets.
Because all the kids are talking about it, Charles.
When they talk about Nobel Prize, the kids go Nobel Peace Prize for Medicine. Even the students, they say Nobel Peace Prize for Medicine.
No.
It's a deviation, sadly. It's the Nobel Prize for Medicine, not the Nobel Peace Prize. But I'm sad because I was learning more from you than I ever did from any science teacher I learnt from as a child. 29 seconds, Giles, starting now.
I discovered a few years ago during an unfortunate holiday in Dusseldorf that DNA is a German name for a sexually transmitted disease. I learnt this when I went to the physician the following morning to say I'm not feeling very well, and they explained to me DNA is what you have. They actually said it in German, but I'm not going to do that because...
Paul, was there... did you say German before?
No.
Yes. I think you did.
Oh, did I?
Yes. Okay. My feeling is very much that you did.
And I'm glad we stopped there before we found out how you contracted this.
Yeah.
In your Dusseldorfs.
In the Dusseldorfs, yeah.
Correct challenge from Paul. That means you keep the subject 8 seconds remaining on DNA. Your time starts now.
When I worked at the Department of Employment in the Civil Service, DNA stood for did not attend. This meant that you'd called a claimant in for an interview, but for some...
But of course, speaking as
as the whistle went means you get the point. And Giles, we are with you. And it's our final round.
Oh.
It's our final round. Pre-loved. This is your subject. And also, I suspect, your natural state of being.
That's probably how you got DNA.
Can you tell us on the subject of pre-loved? 60 seconds starting now.
What's red with a sore throat? A horseradish. That little joke is pre-loved, meaning that I first heard it from Tommy Trinder about 50 years ago. Most of what I say is, in fact, pre-loved, material that I've picked up over the years and enjoyed and chosen to repeat. For example, I came here today on the Underground, and when I got to the foot of the stairs, it took me a while to get up because I saw the sign saying dogs must be carried on the escalator, and it took me 40 minutes to find one. That was a little joke that I got from Harry Worth. Pre-loved is really essentially what has happened to me.
Paul.
Did we have joke before?
Yes, you heard a joke from Tommy Trinder, I believe.
Yes, so. And then there was a joke from Harry Worth. Oh, great comics.
They were, weren't they?
You were going to pick pre-love gags, they were good ones, but repetition is the name of the game. Paul's got in there with the correct challenge with 23 seconds on the clock. Pre-love, Paul, starting now.
I'm going to tell a Max Miller joke from the 1930s. I've no idea whether there's repetition within it. Usually there are within such stories, but I'll give it a go anyway. I went home the other night. I said to the wife, here, I said, I hear the milkman has made love to every woman in this street bar one. She says, I bet it's that stuck-up cow at number 54. Now, that was a joke which everybody laughed at, but in the old days, they used to...
Zoe.
It's a bit late in the game, but I think there were also two jokes in there.
There were.
I was there.
Yeah, there were. Yeah.
But the material was so good, we thought it would run.
And Zoe, for you, you've achieved the Holy Grail. 1 second.
1 second to go.
Make sure you get in there fast.
I will. I'll get in there fast.
1 second to go. Pre-loved, starting now.
Pre-loved is the name of my...
Well listened, great challenge, and it paid off. Well done, all. Well, it was a tightly fought contest, this one. And so the scores on the doors, we have Zoe and Shazia just slightly behind the beat in third place with 6 points. Giles with 8 points, yes. But soaring into the lead, and today's winner, Paul, with 12 points. Congratulations. And there, my lovelies, I'm afraid we have to leave you. But first of all, it is a joy to thank all of the delightful players of the game today, to Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Shazia Mirza, and Giles Brandreth. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and of course, to our late, dearly departed, wonderful Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 years in exemplary fashion. We also thank Caroline Barlow, who blew her whistle so beautifully. The producer was Hayley Sterling, and it was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you so much for listening, and do join us again when we next play, Just a Minute.